This is a homily pod for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered round him, and he stayed by the lakeside. Then one of the synagogue officials came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him fell at his feet and pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is desperately sick. Do come and lay your hands on her and make her better and save her life." Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him. They were pressing all around him. Now there was a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. After long and painful treatment under various doctors, she had spent all she had without being any the better off for it. In fact, she was getting worse. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his cloak. "If I can touch even his clothes," she told herself, "I shall be well again." And the source of the bleeding dried up instantly, and she felt in herself that she was cured of her complaint. Immediately aware that power had gone out from him, Jesus turned round in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing round you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he continued to look all around to see who had done it. Then the woman came forward, frightened and trembling, because she knew what had happened to her. And she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. "My daughter," he said, "your faith has restored you to health. Go in peace and be free from your complaint." While he was still speaking, some people arrived from the house of the synagogue official to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why put the master to any further trouble?" But Jesus had overheard this remark and theirs, and he said to the official, "Do not be afraid, only have faith." And he allowed no one to go with him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. So they came to the official's house, and Jesus noticed all the commotion, with people weeping and wailing unrestrainedly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and crying? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. So he turned them all out, and taking with him the child's father and mother and his own companions, he went into the place where the child lay. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." The little girl got up at once and began to walk about, for she was 12 years old. At this, they were overcome with astonishment, and he ordered them strictly not to let anyone know about it, and he told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Help us focus on you, Lord, on your presence in this place. Help us focus on you, Lord, ever mindful of your grace. Let us place our trials before you, knowing you are Lord of all. Help us focus on you, so we can hear and respond to your call. You lavish your love on us, and we follow you, for our shepherd. You sacrifice your life for us, Savior, King, and friend. Help us focus on you, Lord, on your presence in this place. Help us focus on you, Lord, ever mindful of your grace. Let us place our trials before you, knowing you are Lord of all. Help us focus on you, so we can hear and respond to your call. We worship you, we are. us place our trials before you, knowing you are Lord of all. Help us focus on you so we can hear and respond to your call.
Gospel writers can't really tell us what Jesus is thinking, or explain how or why he did what he did. So when the narrator says that Jesus was aware power had gone out, that was Mark's interpretation rather than a fact. We also have no way of knowing what the woman is thinking, but Mark tells us she says to herself, "I shall be well again." So why do we have these explanations? I think the aim of this has something to do with the art of storytelling itself, and a deeper purpose that wants to bring joy to the readers of Mark's Gospel. It also shows Jesus is full of compassion, humorous. You know, he says, "Who touched me?" And that crowds are pushing all against him. And more powerful than we or even the jeerers can imagine he is. There are lots of ideas, I think, that Mark wants to bring out. So what is the purpose of this story? And it's to do with this wonderful modern art of storytelling, or ancient art of storytelling, that in the modern days seems to have disappeared. Except I think it has been captured most and retained most by a certain style of comedian, you know, ones like Les Dawson. Do you know how he goes on and begins a story with wonderful use of language and embroiders the whole background of the sky and the seasons? And he brings an idea out of the stars. Then he goes off on a complete tangent, somewhat totally ridiculous. And then, after all the ramblings, he comes back again with a clever finale that gives the points of that first introduction, that first story, and it somehow has a deeper impact. But Mark also uses a number of different literary techniques to present his account of the life of Jesus. One of these techniques has become known as the Markan sandwich. I remember being told about this when we were doing our studying. And this is the technique whereby Mark interrupts a story with what appears to be a completely unrelated story. So we have the healing of Jairus' daughter interrupted today with the healing of the lady with the hemorrhage. Now, these sandwiches appear all over his gospel. There's lots of examples that others will be able to give you, and you can get books on the whole detail of this. But in today's reading, I'd really like to just concentrate on the filling within the Markan sandwich of the anonymous woman, whoever she was. The bread, as it were, is the story of Jairus, which we'll have to leave for another day. Jesus rarely healed anyone without making it clear the necessity for faith on the part of the sufferer. He seems to see faith in people's actions as well as words, in perseverance that they display in overcoming difficulties in order to reach him. Perhaps if we think of the culture of the woman, that she had the things she had to overcome in order to get to that position where she was on this day, in order to do what she did, we realise how much faith she actually had. The rules she had to abide by because of her illness came from Leviticus. In that part of the scrolls that they were read in all the synagogues, there was hundreds of rituals which were very strict. And they covered the boundaries of human contact between someone considered unclean and the rest of society, and unfortunately women. She was thought unfit for worship, contagious, permanently untouchable. She'd have been probably divorced by her husband, lost all contact with her children, forced out of her home, separated from all her friends and family. I know I'm doing now what I said Mark couldn't know. I don't know this, but this is what happened to women at the time of Jesus. She was desperate. She'd spent all her money, and she saw in Jesus her only hope. Now, one of the points I think that Mark's making is that whenever we're desperate, it doesn't matter when we go, when we turn to Jesus, at the beginning, after spending all our money and trying everything under the sun, and then coming to what we realise is the only hope. When we come to Jesus with the burdens and troubles and whatever is hurting us, he will respond. And her faith made her go beyond the protocol and laws imposed by her society. She dared to reach out and touch the hem of the person she feels has the power to change her life. And remember, if she touches someone, they become unclean as well. We've seen this protocol today, even more so, I suppose, with the COVID. You know, you might get some people wondering whether you should bang an elbow or wave. Or it used to be there with royalty. You weren't people who've been to garden parties. Not mention anybody. But before you go to something like this, you're told exactly how you must do, which way. And I don't think putting your hand on your shoulder or putting your arm around the Queen is part of that protocol. But Jesus declares to this woman that it wasn't the touch that healed her. It was a faith. Mark uses a Greek word which is spelled S-W-Z-W, I don't even know how to pronounce it, to indicate that she was healed. But the word also means saved. There's a double entendre or double meaning here. Not only was she healed physically, she was healed spiritually. She was saved from her ritual uncleanliness, and she could return to her family and presumably take up her former position in society. But when did she demonstrate her faith? She had faith that Jesus could heal her when she approached him through the crowd. She demonstrated her faith further when she reached out and touched the hem of his coat. She was focused on touching his garments as if they had some kind of magical power. But Jesus responded to her faith, even though it wasn't really a mature faith. Maybe one of the reasons Jesus stopped was to tell the woman that it was her faith that healed her, not some superstition, that she wouldn't continue in those kind of superstitions, you know, if only I touch. And you do see that around today still, don't you? That there's some kind of superstitious power in things. It's the faith that has the power. And the miracle shown by Mark here is this faith of the anonymous woman. After all she'd been through, Jesus is like royalty. He is the Messiah and he is the Son of God who can, he can touch the lowliest of us. The bread of the sandwich, just mentioning that briefly, it also shows that everyone's welcome into this kingdom. Everyone's welcome. Jairus, the synagogue official, was likely to be the one who banned the woman from worship in the first place. Yet Jesus was compassionate to his needs and demonstration of faith. Both miracles were signs to show the coming of God's kingdom and point towards this great saving act of Jesus' own death and resurrection. The purpose of Jesus was not to abolish all the evils here below, but to free men from the greatest slavery of all. That's not me, that's the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 549. The Catechism and Scriptures are clear. Our Lord responds to faith and shows compassion to our condition of life in, our difficulties and our troubles. And it's now, this moment, whenever we are willing to turn to him, we will have a response. But his ultimate purpose is for our long-term, and Mark's ultimate purpose is for our long-term involvement in God's kingdom, not sort of quick fixes here and a quick fix there. I think my prayer is that old prayer. Lord, my faith isn't that strong. Give me more faith.